Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's unbelievable that today, on a Tuesday, guess who is joining me and Michael Kelly? None other than John Hancock. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. What's cooking?
Well, not too much. We just thought we'd check in with you.
Well, there you go. I hope you're having fun out there. I guess the other guy comes back tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly. Although the last time he went to Chicago during Snowmageddon, he got stuck up there. So I think he's timing it so that he gets an extra day.
Well, there you go.
We're getting snow, huh? Yeah, we're getting snow tomorrow, 3 to 3 inches probably. And have they started the pre-treatment process out in Chesterfield? Because I know you sell me that nothing bad will happen in Chesterfield ever.
Buddy, I'm down in the bunker with no windows. I have no idea what's happening out there.
Why are you in the bunker?
That's where my office is.
Oh.
He keeps his food in a bucket, too, right, John?
Try not to eat so much.
You can warm it up like paste and survive whatever's going to come.
That sounds so so bleak. Well, John, we are reaching out to you today to kind of give us your thoughts on what is happening right now in Washington, D.C. There are a flurry of executive orders. Some of them seem comical or random, like the Gulf of America, which, by the way, I believe Google Maps in the United States has changed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America to impending tariffs. What stands out to you as important?
And don't forget the paper straws, John, that have been banned now inside the federal government. We're tackling the big stuff, brother.
Yeah, what stands out to you? Because it's so much, it's hard to keep track of.
It is, and I think if you step back if you can hear the dog barking, I apologize. If you step back and look at this thing from 30,000 feet, there's a whole series of things that have collided to kind of cause and put us where we are now. Not the least of which is, I think, a profound, poorly educated public when it comes to basic civics, how America works, why America is exceptional, why our system of government is unique in the world and genius. Our founders created a system, as Madison said, to pit ambition against ambition. That's why we've got three branches of government, and none of them are all powerful, and none of them should have and exercise more power than any other. It's a government system that's designed to move slowly. And big changes this way, that way, are by design not supposed to happen. I think that most Americans don't grasp the beauty of our government. And I think there's a lot of frustration that things don't happen so quickly here. So you've got that going on. I also think we are very poorly educated when it comes to basic economics in this country. And that's, our education system has failed us in both of those regards. And now you've got a situation where the country is highly polarized, like it hasn't been since probably the 1960s, along racial and war lines in the 1960s. And you got to go back to the 1850s and 60s for the Civil War. We're as ideologically polarized now as we've ever been. And so you get a situation where Americans aren't crazy about government. You've got an executive branch that has for decades been trending towards this imperial presidency. It's not unique to Donald Trump. And you've got fully half the country that loves everything he's doing, and half the country that can't stand anything he's doing. And it's a bad recipe. And we're testing right now through the courts process whether or not our institutions are going to be able to stand. And the courts are ruling that some of these things that Trump has done are illegal, but they have no ability to enforce those rulings. So we're in a situation here where we're just going to have to sit back and see what happens. But I think it's a very challenging and stressful time for our nation.
Is that the whole point of this, that the strategy is to throw everything out there? It overwhelms the U.S. It also can overwhelm both our allies and our geopolitical adversaries. So Trump is counting on the chaos as a tactic to get his way?
Well, I think they are just proceeding full speed ahead. And look, you can argue about the merits of USAID, for example. And you can argue that the United States shouldn't be engaged in handing out money to all these foreign countries. That's a point of view that not a few, many people hold. I don't agree with it, but it's an arguable point. What's not arguable, though, is that the executive branch withholding spending appropriated dollars by Congress. That's not arguable. The executive branch does not have that authority under the Constitution. So that's where the courts are right now. And, you know, this is a whole, it's a mess. You can argue about the wisdom of tariffs. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree with them, but there are a lot of people in this country that do. But what does the president have in terms of his authority under the Constitution to do many of these things? I suppose the straw thing is okay. But, you know, where does that authority come from? And it doesn't come from the Constitution.
So, John, where does the resistance or the pushback come? Donald Trump's not going to be president forever. In fact, he can only be president for 4 more years. And maybe there'll be another Republican. Maybe Bernie Sanders gets elected president of the United States. Is there an understanding that the norms are being broken down and the creation of this imperial presidency is going to have quite a clawback or a bite back eventually?
Well, I mean, this is our institutions are under stress right now, and Congress has essentially abrogated whatever constitutional authority they have. I mean, they're just stepping aside at this point. My concern, guys, is I don't know that it comes back. I don't know that easily anyway. I don't know that the system that our founders designed is going to be able to ever again look like it looked for the first couple hundred years in this country. And that's my fear.
But that's interesting coming from you, because that's something I would expect to hear. And I do hear on MSNBC, they are shouting that. You think there's a real question, a constitutional question going down right now?
Well, of course, because when you let the checks and balances that are built into our system, when you let those dissipate, then, you know, and look, nobody likes an overreaching executive branch, except if you're it. And, you know, the founders understood that basic human nature is to be greedy, to grab everything you can, seize every ability to grasp power that you can. That's human nature. That's we're sinful people. And so you design a government that accounts for that. And that's what we did. That's what our founders brilliantly did. And you know, I'm not so sure that a majority of the American people believes that our system of government is that sound. And I think that's kind of sad.
Is there somebody robbing your house? I'm afraid that Gus is either there's an ICE raid going on. Maybe they're coming to
get
some.
Let me tell you what's happening with Gus.
Fine.
So we're getting the fiber optics installed. So AT&T guy is here. And, you know, Gus thinks it's a terrorist.
That sounds fishy. Fiber optics, Amy. That sounds like some high-tech stuff going on out there.
He's in his bunker with his food bucket. Uh-huh. Well, but John, to your point, I really appreciate the 30,000-foot view because, as you said, as you stated, that the constitutional process was intentionally slow and cumbersome and depended heavily on Congress and the ability to persuade and to compromise. And with that, with the constitutional process, comes stability or some semblance of permanence versus we have a bloated, overreaching executive office that's been going on for multiple administrations. And the first thing each president does now when they assume office is rescind all of the previous executive orders because there is no staying power in an executive order. And what concerns me, and this is, again, this is setting aside any of the actual policies themselves, but as a conservative, I've always been concerned with process. And you may love what's people, the royal you may love what's going on with Trump and Elon Musk, but as Michael pointed out, their time will end. And there will be maybe an AOC in office, and maybe she brings in a George Soros. And what the Republicans have done have torn down and overrided the checks and balances that would have helped govern a George Soros and an AOC. Like, I don't understand how we can be so short-sighted.
Well, and you know, the design of our government is that the stuff the government ends up accomplishing generally has broad consensus in the population. It's designed that way. And a lot of stuff gets done. A lot of stuff doesn't get done that perhaps a majority of Americans wish would get done. But, you know, I suppose a benevolent dictator is probably the best form of government there is. But there's no such thing as a benevolent dictator.
Wouldn't a reining in of the executive branch require the party in power to relinquish voluntarily its own power? And you know, whether it's the executive office or Congress working together saying, hey, we got to get back to process, so we're not going to accomplish everything we want to accomplish for the sake of process. Like, was that even... That's not going to happen.
Well, the real problem here is much less Donald Trump than it is Congress. The Congress is completely abrogated. I mean, they're not even appropriating money. And so, you know, that the institution of the House and Senate needs to strengthen itself, have a little backbone and stand up. You know, there's always been a natural clash between the executive and the legislative branch. I saw it when I served in state government. You know, I was a Republican. We had a Republican governor, but there was tension there. We didn't always like what the governor did. And Michael saw it when you had Jay Nixon as the governor, and the Democrats in the legislature often were at loggerheads with him. There's a natural tension there. That tension right now between the executive branch and the legislative branch in Washington, D.C. doesn't exist. And that's a real concern.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it has long-term consequences. So you're going to be back with me here on Friday?
I am.
Have you had a chance to listen to the Mark Scorsese and Kelly version of the Chris and Amy show?
I caught a fairly good chunk of it yesterday. I haven't heard it today.
Oh, buddy, you missed out today.
You can always you know, get the podcast on the Odyssey. Whatever you call that thing.
Have you added Murder, She Baked to your list of to-dos for you and Georgianne based on today's conversation?
Angela Lansbury, right?
That's Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She Baked is a new take on a woman who solves mysteries, but she's a baker. Hence, Murder, She Baked versus Murder, She Wrote. And let me tell you, John.
Yeah.
I'll give you one guess on what channel airs it, Hancock.
I'm going to say Hallmark.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
This is an Amy special.
Oh, my gosh. You wouldn't believe the text messages. I'm getting all sorts of support here. Here's a woman says, hey, or not a woman, a 314. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. Hey, Amy, I watch Murder, She Wrote all the time. I've watched every episode. I also watch The Curious Caterer and Murder, She Bakes. That's me.
Doesn't she sound like excitement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be... That might be from Georgianne.
Maybe the perfect date is going by the store and picking up some fresh flour. Maybe going by and picking up some fresh produce, then going home and watching Murder, She Baked while you put together a little meal.
Last night was Murder, She Baked, a peach cobbler mystery. That's the one that was on, because there's multiple ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's some good stuff there, Amy. Boy, everybody is better off for knowing that.
Well, put it on your list, buddy.
It's unbelievable, John, really, how great it is.
No snooker today because you don't have a partner, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you for joining
us. I'm working, man.
Well, go check on that dog. Yeah. That thing sounds like it's in torture.
I think he finally shut up.
Yeah,
he did.
He was protesting against the show, I guess. Thank you, John Hancock. I'll talk to you Friday.
You bet, guys. See ya.
Bye.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.
Well,
I think it's my favorite movie. It's got the most lines in it.
I will say.
Just Regular Vacation with Chevy Chase. You've seen it?
Yes, but it has been years.
He goes through East St. Louis and I hear a gunshot and he says to the kids, roll them up.
Well,
such a great movie.
I know. They were Matt Pajeski and Michael Kelly were in here quoting. There's nothing better than when you get a movie and you can just quote it for days. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of like me and Murder, She Baked, you know?
Right.
It is a classic.
And if you're going to your favorite Mexican restaurant in St. Louis, there's over 36 of them, Amy, that are closing and saying, sorry, folks, we're closed. And they're doing this as a sign of protest to the Trump administration, the ICE raids that have taken on. We've seen a couple in O'Fallon. I think there was an ICE raid that went to a Mexican restaurant. And maybe it's important that people realize how much of what's happening even in their lives here is being done by folks who are afraid of what's coming from the administration.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, over 36 Hispanic restaurants in the greater St. Louis area are closing for a week starting today. Should be starting today. It is to protest the mass deportation of undocumented immigrants under President Trump. I know Cherokee Street is going to see a lot of restaurants closed down, and Odyssey spoke with, and I don't know, do you know how to say, is it La Tejana Taqueria?
La Tejana.
Tejana Taqueria.
I like it. Sounds good to me.
I say it a little incorrectly, but they talked to Antonio Garcia, who's the owner, and he said that there's been an outpouring of support from people within the community, upset that they feel, and he said, people have come to us crying, and I'm talking Americans, white Americans, they're saying this is not right that they are targeting you or your community, unquote, saying just the community in general is supporting these Mexican restaurants and their protest. And Michael, I think this is something that's been frustrating, is that we know the majority of Americans were very concerned and upset about the border. I think the CBS poll showed 74% of Americans, this was before the election, were concerned about illegal immigration. So the concern is real. However, you have to remember you're dealing with humans, and maybe like focus on the southern border versus saying we're going to go after the birthright, which is in the Constitution, and we're going to start storming schools. It's how you do it is important, especially to people who have been here 30, 40 years. That's different than trying to get control of what's going on in the border.
Right. And I think there's an even larger statement that's coming from these 36 restaurants. I mean, the restaurant you were just talking about has been around for 20 years selling. These are not illegal immigrants who are doing this. These are Americans who own this restaurant and who think, hey, we're being targeted for the color of our skin. And I think that they're bringing awareness to those people who probably did buy into this. Oh, we need to shut down the border, et cetera, and have no idea that, number one, there's real, you know, there's Americans here who are Latino, who are being washed up in all of this, and, you know, who don't feel as though they're finding their place in the American dream right now because they're being questioned just because of the color of their skin. And I think it's also helpful that people realize that our society really does work on the fact that immigrants are here doing it. And by the way, it's not a new phenomenon. It's new that they happen to be from Latin America. But those immigrants used to look like me and used to look like you.
Immigrants.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What we are. Yeah, absolutely. Well, he is Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores, and Matt Pajeski, our intrepid producer, a young man making his way in the world, has a question for Michael Kelly. It has to do with wine and parties, so no one better than Michael Kelly to answer it.
Now.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
It all depends upon your appetite.
Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores here with you alongside our producer, Matt Pajeski. And hey, remember when I said we're giving away tickets to the Doobie Brothers? We are doing that right now. So be the sixth caller to the contest line, 314-955-1120. You could win tickets to see the Doobie Brothers if you are the sixth caller. You'll see them on September 4th. At the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Good luck. Good luck to everyone calling
in. Yeah, that's right around Labor Day weekend. Man.
All right.
That'll be a good time to go see him.
It'll be fun. Yeah, the Doobie Brothers. Man, St. Louis's own.
Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald. I love his voice.
All right, let's hear this. What's this question?
What's the deal, Matt?
All right. Well, I had a question for really everybody, but specifically you, Kelly, because I know you're a wine drinker.
Hey, now.
So I was at a friend's house the other day.
Okay.
On my way to his house. I was asking, hey, can I bring anything for dinner? Because they were cooking. He and his wife were cooking for me. He says, no, you don't need to bring anything. I say, dessert? No. I say, a bottle of wine? Oh, sure, you can bring a bottle of wine. I'm like, okay, I can do that.
Okay.
Easy stuff. I bring the bottle of wine to the house. We have dinner. It's nice. But the bottle of wine doesn't get opened.
Yeah?
And I'm just a little put off by that. I'm like, I kind of like brought it for us to drink, to share. What do you think about
that? Couple of questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one, what was the price point of the bottle of wine you brought?
Under $20.
Okay, so you bought it, and was it red or white?
Red.
Okay, so you brought a bottle of red wine, something you'd pick up at a little, you know, quick run out, $20. Okay, what did you guys have for dinner?
Baked chicken with some vegetables.
Was there other wine served at the table?
No.
Now that's weird.
That
is. That's inappropriate. Now, if they were serving some other wine, that would make some sense. But the fact that you showed up with wine and they didn't offer to you. Yes, a problem. Now, I've given wine to people in the past that may be a nicer bottle of wine because I'm not a wine. I like wine that could come out of a box. But you know how people give you nice wine and I give it to them and they won't necessarily drink it that night because it can be something special.
Sure.
But to have a dinner, you bring wine and no wine is served? Problem.
I know. And when I asked to bring the wine and they said yes, I'm like, okay, well, obviously you want wine then if you're telling me to bring it. And it didn't get used.
Yeah, we should talk to Miss Manners about how you're supposed to address that and say, I'm grateful that you invited me here fact that I picked up a bottle of wine. How come we're not drinking it?
I was the only one, too. Like, if it's a big dinner party and multiple people are bringing wine, okay, you can't open up every single bottle, can't drink all of it, but I'm the only one. I bring one bottle of wine.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't want to be the one to start the conversation. Hey, how about opening up that wine? I don't want to be the one to say that. I want to be offered the wine. You know, there's something to be offered to that really kind
Amy,
of.
Amy, do you take wine to parties or to somebody's house when you go somewhere?
So here's the thing. I am so bad at remembering to bring stuff. I don't know why. I'm really bad at that. So I've brought food.
Right.
I don't bring wine, but I also don't drink wine. I let me rephrase that. I've brought wine before, but this is where I struggle. Usually it's like a bigger dinner party.
Right.
And everybody's bringing alcohol. And I had one specifically where it was a bunch of adults. They all do very well for themselves. And I show up. Now, they've all brought really expensive bottles of bourbon and scotch. And wine. And I brought a bottle of wine that I think it's like
Boone's Farm, baby.
Well, I think it was like, and the only reason I know this is because I didn't have any wine. So I called my dad. I'm like, you have a bottle of wine I can grab? I think it was like a $50 bottle of wine.
Oh, that's nice.
And I brought it, but they also didn't look particularly thrilled with it. They're just like, oh, okay.
They
and then set
a bit
it down.
Snobbish,
well,
say.
I think they know what they like and they kind of knew what bourbon they liked and what scotch. So I brought it, and I pretty much know every time I go with this group, if I bring alcohol, It won't
be... That's high society,
nobody's going to drink it, and it's going to sit there. So I'm basically paying $50 to go to the party. I don't even know if they drank it later.
Yeah.
So I didn't bring any last time because they brought so much alcohol, and everybody was drinking, like, did you try, you know, like the snifter, like, ooh, did you try the scotch? But now, I mean, so it makes me sound like a cheapskate, but I didn't because I've done it before, and it's kind of just like throwing $50 in a hole.
Yes. So here's what I would recommend to you, Matthew, is I wouldn't get discouraged by it.
Okay.
I would continue to bring a nice bottle of wine like you've done in the past. But more importantly, process this stuff for yourself. Because, like, when I have people over, I try to remember that stuff. Like, hey, this guy showed up with a bottle of wine. I should ask him, do you want to open that bottle of wine? You know, and some people will be like, oh, man, I just picked it up at Quick Trip. I don't care what you do with it. Or other people will be like, yeah, that's a bottle of Camus. I would really like us to share that.
Yeah, I try to be a good host. When I have friends over, I try to make sure that I have enough to drink. Mm-hmm. I offer people things instead of saying, like, hey, beer's in the fridge, by the way. Like, if I'm up, I'll be like, hey, you want me to grab you something while I'm in there? Or snacks, anything. I try to offer that.
All right, so maybe this is just my situation, but I'm single, like yourself. Yeah. When I have a party over, or, for instance, Super Bowl, I'm all about providing everything that's necessary, the food, the drink, the cooking, the ordering, whatever it's going to be. But I'm not participating in the collection and putting it on your plate process.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm one of those guys, for instance, I cooked up the Philly chicken cheese steak sandwiches the other day. So I had the bread there, I had the cheese there, but you had to go over and put it into your bread yourself, throw the cheese on it, and put it in the microwave if you wanted that cheese melted on top. And it was really nice, but I don't want to do, you know, I'm not going to do your work when you're coming to my house.
We're adults.
So, you know what I mean? 314-436-7900 if you want to text in and give us your thoughts, or, of course, the voice message feature on the Odyssey app. So, Matt, you also brought up, like, if you go to a party and there's just way too much alcohol, so people aren't drinking all of it. And what did you bring? Like a 24-pack of beer?
Yeah.
And nobody drank any of it. Is that just the party tax? You just leave it?
You leave 22
cans? Yeah, you definitely. You never take something and take it home. Now, you could take your dish with you. But I don't ever take any dishes that could be that would be very classless to take something with you. Now, I don't know about you guys. When I go to Thanksgiving at my house, they take little to-go bags and stuff like that. Different.
Yeah.
But to go back and be like, hey, only 12 of those 18 beers were drank.
Well, sometimes it's like two of those 24.
I know.
I just gave you like,
yeah, but how old are you?
I'm 25.
Well, then you totally can go take that beer back. Never
because
mind.
I feel like what if
no, that's real time. You can totally take
Not
that.
Not everybody's got like money to throw around, and it's like, man, every time I go to a party, right? Like you said, you're investing. Do you have to consider it the party tax? Or if you're younger, can you say,
yeah, you're younger, you can go grab that beer and be like, man, I had a great time. I'm going to grab some of them beers and take them with me and get them all.
Yeah.
But Amy, if you went to somebody's house and you brought a bottle of bourbon and we had a couple of swallows of it, and then you're like, okay, everybody, and then take the bottle with you, you're at an age where that's no longer appropriate.
That's
right?
Hoosier. Yeah. Well, then I'm not bringing the most expensive bottle of bourbon. I don't want to leave it.
That's why you pick up the Boone's Farm on the way to the party.
Yeah, I don't want to leave an $80 bottle of bourbon, like take two swigs of it.
Is that what bourbon costs?
Some of them do, yeah.
I feel like bourbon is, remember when your parents, maybe it's only something they say to boys, but son, that'll put some hair on your chest. I feel like anytime I've drank bourbon, it doesn't really taste good, but boy, it'll put some hair on my chest. Like, ugh, whatever that means.
I think.
Did you ever get that statement said to you?
No.
I get it.
Have you had that said to you?
I know that statement, but no one's ever said it to me specifically.
And by the way, I have no hair on my chest.
You haven't drank any, that's why.
Yeah. Angel's Envy is not that expensive. And I like Angel's Envy a lot. I'm trying to see. So it's like $40.
No. What is it? The thing is the Buffalo Trace, right? That's the high dollar bourbon right now, right?
I don't think it's that high dollar.
Oh, well, what is it called? The
I'm not bringing a bottle of Weller 12 and leaving it there. You can't even get a bottle of Weller 12. That's
I didn't even know.
Pappy Van Winkle's like the best.
Yeah,
Pappy
you're
Van
not bringing
Winkle.
Pappy's. No. You could bring Angel's Envy. That'd be like the most expensive.
Do you think most of those, because you hang out with people who've got nice stuff, you know, drinking that kind of nice stuff. So have I. Do you think they can really tell the difference between Pappy Van Winkle and some other bourbon if we put it in front of them?
Not with Pappy's and Weller, because it's like the joke is, because I think it's the same company, and that's like a guy who takes a sip and is like, Pappy's, and then takes a sip, Weller. They're basically the same, or Weller's Reserve, or Weller 12, yeah. But I can't tell the difference between like maybe a $200 bottle. What I can tell the difference is a difference between like really cheap. Like I'm just not a fan of like, because I'll just drink it over ice or neat. I'm not drinking Jack Daniels over ice. I can tell the difference between that and Angel's Envy, but from a really nice bourbon to, you know, $50, $100 more. Yeah. No, I can't
see,
tell the difference.
I would love to get a bunch of those snobbish liquor people in a room and do that stuff. Do a taste test and see if they really know their
really
stuff.
Tell the difference. All right, we've got KC from St. Charles. What's up, KC?
How you guys doing? Enjoy your show as usual.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, on the guy who brought the wine, what were they drinking? Were they just drinking water? Because I'm not a wine drinker because I take medication and I don't drink alcohol. But I was just curious, were they drinking anything other than just plain water? And my last remark is that, like my wife, she makes the best banana pudding. And when we went to the Super Bowl party or whatever, she brought a bowl of banana pudding. But the host put half of it away and only put half out. I don't know if that was the appropriate thing to do. All right, thank you.
Oh, I hate that.
That's like the banana tax.
Like if you,
that's gonna get ate the next day.
But like, man, if someone brings banana pudding and then it doesn't get eaten, I want to take that home with me. I'm like, yeah. No. All right. So now, what were they?
We just drank, I think, soda and water. Nothing alcoholic. I know. And so, like, I'm bringing the wine also, you know, as a gift, but also because I want to drink a little bit tonight with my friends and have a good time.
So they told you to bring wine.
And they're not teetotalers. You've drank with them before in the past?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, that's
I think it would not have been inappropriate for you to say, hey, can we open that bottle of wine I brought?
You're right.
Now,
but I
to take that bottle of wine on the way out, not good.
No, I would not do that.
But had you brought a case of beer and only you drank two beers, I don't think there would have been anything wrong with you getting the rest of the case and leaving with it.
I think in this case, I would have picked up the wine with a flourish and go, I'm going home. Just swing the wine around and go home. From a 314, if I bring something to drink to your house on an occasion, I would like to have some of whatever it is that I brought.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just surprised they didn't drink it all. And the fact that they asked you to bring wine, like, yeah, you can bring wine. They didn't open it.
Do you guys want to go to a party where people wait on you or it's set out and you can take care of yourself? Like all the liquor's there and you can just make your own little drink.
Take care of myself.
Yeah,
ditto. There's something nice about, hey, can I get you a refill while I'm up? I like that too.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. But
that's an easy one.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how I am. That's my whole thing. And I don't think it's being rude to people to be like, here's the stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not waiting on you. And enjoy, you know, if there's something you don't like, let me know. We'll get it.
And like I said, I like tequila, which is pretty easy because it's tequila and club. But if some people are just really good at like making a great old fashioned.
Yeah.
Then I let them make it.
You're tequila gal?
I know. It's so weird. I drink tequila and club.
Have you ever drank it excessively? Like, does it have a different outcome when you're drunk for you than maybe other alcohol?
I've never been drunk. And the reason why, I've never been drunk. And the reason why I switched to tequila is because it's a cleaner, like your body metabolizes it of all the alcohols. So I could have tequila and club or two tequilas and club and still run 20 miles the next day without feeling dehydrated or
but
gross.
You got a little buzzed on the two tequilas.
I don't think so, because for some reason...
Come on, Amy, I'm twice the size of you, and two shots of tequila, I'm going to feel it.
No, you're not.
I am twice the size of you.
So I can hold tequila even more than like bourbon, because I can slow down with bourbon. Tequila, I don't know why my body metabolizes it.
You want to have a drinking contest?
I could out-drink you.
Yeah, I'm
in.
Let's go. 5 pounds of her over there. I'll drink you, Kelly.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. That's the wine bringer, Matt Pajeski. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
I'm drinking bourbon. I'm drinking scotch. I'm drinking beer. Look at a bar.
It's the alcohol hour. Alcohol hour. Alcohol hour on the Chris and Amy Show. Hey, Bob.
That's the tequila consumer over there slurring
right.
their words.
That's right. Bob in South City calling in. Hey, Bob.
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment about your conversation about hosting parties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
pardon me. I'm 82 now, but years ago, my wife and I, we used to throw a New Year's Eve party every year,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have sometimes up to 20, 25 people here. But she always told them when we called them and invited them, she always told them whether or not they should bring a dish and whether they should bring any drinks. And after the party was over with, if there was things like liquor that we didn't drink or whatever, we would let the person know that brought it. If they wanted to take it, they should take it when they go home, because it wasn't going to get used if it was left.
Thank you, Bob. That's a good move. That's a considerate move. If you know people are bringing bottles of wine or bourbon and you're not going to drink it, say, here, take this back. We won't drink it. That's legit.
Nice.
That's a legit move. Yeah. We've got John in Overland. Go ahead, John.
No, thank you. First, I got to say something about fake wine, like, you know, that ain't alcohol, like Welch's grape drink or whatever it's called. But first, I went to my friend's thinking it'd be a good day. This guy I've known for years, and he kind of changed on me, like politically or something. I don't know. Because I noticed his aquarium, all his electric eels were replaced with gasoline powered eels.
Womp womp. Wait.
That was a long hold for that.
Is it too bad? Is it cheap to bring sparkling grape juice, or like you bring two bottles, or is that like silly to bring?
Well, thank you, John. Fine. I think especially like if you're not drinking, if you're a couple, you know, the woman's pregnant, I think it's totally fine to bring like a sparkling grape juice option. Say, hey, I'm bringing this because I'm not drinking or my wife's pregnant.
Yeah, I have non-alcoholic beer options, but I don't have alcohol options like that. And if that's what you want, I think it's appropriate to bring it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, I also, a couple of texts here that I did want to thank a 314, just because the listeners have my back, that this woman also, I said woman, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, that she also watches Murder, She Baked. And Allison Sweeney, and another one here also says loves The Curious Caterer, Murder, She Baked, and Murder, She Wrote.
If you were to have a Murder, She Baked gathering of listeners where you could have like almost like a book club, where would it take place at? Would it be at like Michael's Hobby Lobby, or where would a bunch of Murder, She Baked folks kind of identify?
Probably
with each other?
Library, yeah, I think. I'm not very crafty.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do something with what I see at Hobby Lobby, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't have the skills. Oh, also, I want to, did I congratulate our winner yet?
What, the Doobie Brothers?
Yeah.
Do we have somebody?
We do.
We do.
What city are they from?
They're from Edwardsville. I wrote it down.
Her name's
Sherry. Sherry from Edwardsville is going to see the Doobie Brothers. No, that's Stevie Wonder.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I get it because of this song.
Yeah, using her name.
Her name. You know? Sorry, I thought you meant that's who she was
going to
see.
Sherry in Edwardsville is going to see the Doobie Brothers on September the 4th at the Hollywood Casino Theater right here in St. Louis.
That's right. And keep listening for your chance to win all this week. Tomorrow we'll be giving away some more tickets. Michael Kelly.
Ronji's back tomorrow.
Ronji's back tomorrow. I'm going to miss you, Michael.
I'll miss you too. Be careful in that snow out there.
Well, the next time it snows, or the next time Ronji is in Chicago, it'll be you and I again, I hope.
Here comes there's a stampede of the Glover.
Are you hanging for the Glover show?
Heck yeah.
All right. Michael and I are going to hang out here for the Glover show for the 1 o'clock hour. You've been listening to the Chris and Amy show on KMOX.